You might be turning with me to the book of Revelation. That's where we'll be beginning this evening. In fact, most of what we'll be talking about this evening will come from that book, Revelation. Chapter 4 is where we will begin. And I just want to say and join with Daryl that we do appreciate your presence, and we certainly are glad that you're here, and we are very thankful for the opportunity to be together again as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we might worship God together and be together as His people. And we're thankful for that and thankful for every opportunity that we have with that. I just remind you too, as we look into the scripture, we are looking into God's holy word, and this is His word, and this is His revelation to us, and we need to look at it with a seriousness of mind and a seriousness of heart as we study, that we would look at His word and take the things that He says and use it in our lives. What do you think about when you think about heaven? Because when I'm looking in the book of Revelation, and I realize that there is a lot revealed to us about heaven in the book of Revelation. As John was given this opportunity to be in the presence of God in heaven, he saw a lot of things. And he revealed those things because God had told him to write these things down, and so that his people might have a record of what he saw, and it might reveal to them some things about God and about Christ and about heaven, and so that they would have these things in their knowledge and understanding, so it would help them as they go throughout this life. But what do you think about when you think about heaven? And I suppose if you would ask different people, say 100 people, what is heaven all about, then I would suspect you'd get a lot of different answers. People would have different answers about what heaven is all about. And people think about heaven in different ways. And in their view, that heaven is like this and heaven is like that and that sort of thing. We sing a lot of songs about heaven that are descriptive songs about how we want to go there and that we how it's going to be and that sort of thing. One of the songs that's come to my mind is I've Got a Mansion, or A Mansion in Heaven. I forgot exactly what the title is. There's a mansion. I got a mansion just over the hilltop, and that song is describing that there is a place for us in heaven and a mansion. And of course, that's taken from the scripture in that Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, there you shall be also." And so Jesus describes heaven as an abiding place, a place that you go. But what is heaven all about? In the book of Revelation, I believe that it reveals to us some things about what heaven is all about. And another thing too, that when we think about heaven, it could be that we think about heaven about ourselves. In other words, we put ourselves there, and what heaven is, what I can get out of it, and heaven is what it means and what it's going to mean to me, and heaven, if I can just make it to heaven, then heaven, it's going to be beautiful and it's going to be wonderful, and certainly it will be. And they may have the idea that heaven is about me being in heaven. And so we're going to address that this evening too. The first thing we need to look at is that, and understand that there are four key words, I believe, that we find in the book of Revelation, four key words that would teach us about what heaven is all about. And the first word is worship. Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. And reading the scripture here, it says, "The four living creatures, which having six wings, was full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you are created, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So when we look at these scriptures, we understand that what's happening here is these living creatures, and as John describes them here, having six wings and full of eyes all around and within, and they do not rest day and night. Did you notice that? They do not rest. And I think the figurative language here is day and night, because understanding that there's no night there, because the scripture reveals that to us, that it's all the time. That they do not rest worshiping God Almighty. They do not rest. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they do not rest worshiping God. And it's not just them. We see too that there's 24 elders, as it's been described here, and they fall down. They fall down to him who sits on the throne, and they worship. And they worship him. And they worship him. We need to look at that. And they worship him. And as these four living creatures and these 24 elders, and what are they doing? They're worshiping God. And they're praising God in verse 11. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." They're worshiping God. And not only that we can look further in the book of Revelation, say in chapter 7. In chapter 7, in verse 9. And notice these scriptures. "And these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God." A multitude of people, a number that could not be counted. That they could not count the number, just a multitude. And what were they doing? Along with the four creatures and living creatures and the 24 elders, and they were falling down on their faces. And they were worshiping God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be by our God forever and forever. Amen." Worshiping God. And then there's one more point in this, as we talk about four key words that would teach us what heaven is all about. We look in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, in 19, verse 4. "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, 'Amen, hallelujah.' Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made ready herself.'" Worshiping God, a great multitude of people. And again, we have here these four living creatures and that is mentioned here, and the 24 elders, and a great multitude of people. And what are they doing? They're worshiping God. So we look in the scriptures and we find out what is heaven going to be about. It's going to be about worshiping God. Now, as we think about that, we need to think about this, is that as we, some may think that heaven is about them being in heaven. It is about me being in heaven. We need to look at this. It is about worshiping God. not about me, not about you. It is about God, and it is about worshiping God. Heaven is all about reconciliation, being reconciled, from the wrongs that has that we have encountered in this life. Being reconciled for the tribulations and the trials that people, Christians, have faced in this life. And the things that they have had to go through in order to be a servant of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. And then when in heaven, those things will be made right. And the record will be reconciled in heaven. Heaven is about reconciliation. Revelation chapter 7. Beginning in verse 13, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in the white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said unto him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger nor any more, nor thirst any more. And the sun shall not strike them any more, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Heaven will be about reconciliation. These martyrs for the cause of Christ, that in this life that they had so many trials and troubles and tribulations, and they faced so many hardships. And when they make it to heaven, then heaven is a place where those things are reconciled. They're reconciled, and Christ is leading them, and they will thirst no more, and they will hunger no more, and they will not be burned by the sun anymore. They will be taken care of, and they will serve him day and night. And they have their robes washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They are reconciled, and the wrong that they faced in this life is now made right. Chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and then with and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" In heaven, all those unequal things that those who are followers of Christ that they have faced upon this earth, all those unequal things that they had, will now be made right. And they will be reconciled. The wrongs will be made right. And they will be reconciled, and they'll have the opportunity to worship God and to worship him both day and night, as the scripture describes that. And they will have that opportunity. Heaven is like that. We often talk about the joy of heaven. And certainly heaven will be a place of joy in heaven. If heaven is the absence of pain and tears, and heaven is the absence of dying and death and parting and that sort of thing, it will be a happy, joyous place, because those are the things that we face while we're here on this earth. Making things right. Setting records straight, where we were surrounded by those things which was impure. Now in heaven we'll be surrounded by purity, and only purity will be there in heaven. And this earth is filled with sorrow and with death and all those things that plague us, and curses, and all the curses will become blessings, because we'll be reconciled in heaven, and we have opportunity to have ourselves reconciled in heaven. Heaven is about worship. Heaven is about reconciliation. And then heaven is about rest. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, and looking at verse 3, the scripture says this: they sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except 144,000 who were redeemed on the earth. And I'm in this verse 13, chapter 14, and in verse 13. Then it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." It is a place of rest. Can you picture those first century Christians as they faced so many difficulties in this life and so many trials, and they were beaten for being a follower of Jesus Christ, and some of them were killed for being a follower of Jesus Christ, and they were punished for being followers of Jesus Christ. In heaven, they'll rest from all that, because there'll be none of that there. There'll be only peace. And there'll be rest from their labors. Did they work? Yes, they did work while they were here upon this earth. They did work, but when they get to heaven, then there will be a rest. And they won't have to face any of those difficulties. And none of those difficulties will be there. Only purity and righteousness will be there, because God is pure and because God is righteous. That's what heaven is. Heaven is a place of rest. And whatever you go through upon this earth, and no matter how difficult, we can know, and we can write it down as sure, as fact, that in heaven they will be rest. Revelation 21, verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb of God shall be in it, and their servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall..." That's in chapter 22. It's the second thing I've read the wrong one. I'm looking at Revelation chapter 21 in verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, for these things... there shall be no more pain, for the former things have all passed away." Rest. No more. These were former things in heaven. Former things. Not present things, but former things. And a place of rest. The other word, the other key word is victory. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. "Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." He will overcome. Heaven is about worship, and heaven is all about reconciliation, and heaven is all about rest, and heaven is about victory. It is about overcoming. Look at verse 8. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That God who created heaven and earth, that God who created heaven, the place that we long to be, a place that where God is and Christ is and the Holy Spirit is and all the saved of all the ages will be there. That place, that God who created that, also has created another eternal dwelling place. And it's not good. It is a place where they will be punished. That there will be a lake of fire and brimstone. It will burn with fire and brimstone. And this will be the second death. That God, the God we worship and the God we join ourselves to, has created a place called hell. And we don't want to go there. It is a bad place for us as Christians and followers of Christ. Our life and our overcoming here upon this earth means victory, because heaven is about being victorious and overcoming the things that we have to encounter upon this earth. It is about victory, worship, and reconciliation, and about and rest and victory. Four key words that I believe that teaches us what heaven is going to be all about. Four key words. And all these key words revolve around me? No. They don't revolve around me. All these four key words, they revolve around God. God. What will make heaven heaven is God. Because He is there. Christ Jesus, our Lord, is there. What will make heaven heaven is God. Well, it's not me, not you, it is God. Heaven would be all about the worship of God. Remember the verses that we read about the four living creatures and the 24 elders and the multitudes of people. They were worshiping God. Heaven is all about the worship of God. Heaven is all about the reconciliation made available by God. He makes it available. He provides it. If we make it to heaven, it'll be by the grace of God and the mercy of God. And we cannot do it on our own. We're not good enough to do it on our own. But by God's grace and by God's mercy, by God's forgiveness, by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, then we can be there. We can overcome and we can be victorious. The reconciliation that we will receive is by God. Heaven is about that. Heaven is about all about the rest in God. Rest in God. Because it's God that provides that rest. God is God that provides for us that opportunity to be there and to rest. It will be resting in God. When you think about heaven, you may think about Luke chapter 16 and notice what Jesus taught there about the rich man and Lazarus. And they both died in Luke chapter 16. And the rich man, he went to a place of torment. And Lazarus went to the place of comfort in Abraham's bosom, it is described. And the rich man was in torment and he was crying out, "Father Abraham, let Lazarus come and dip the tip of his finger in water and put on my tongue and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in these flames." But it could not be so. And the point is that Lazarus, was in a place of comfort. He was in a place of comfort and rest. It was a place of reconciliation that all the wrong that he had faced upon this on this earth, the inequities upon this earth were now being reconciled, giving him the opportunity to worship God and to worship God continually, forever and forever and forever. Heaven will be all about victory through God. Through God. Not me, not anything that I could do, not that I could do it on my own, not that you could do it on your own, but it's through God. It doesn't revolve around me. Heaven doesn't revolve around me. Heaven is not all about me or all about you. Heaven is about God. And it revolves around God. We all want to go to heaven. We all want to be with God. We all want to be able to worship God. We want to be reconciled. We want to have the rest, and we want to have the victory that God would give us. We want those things. We desire those things. Here's some questions that we need to ask. Am I looking for those things now? And we're only here for a short period of time upon this earth, 3 score and 10, or by reason of half, 4 score. We don't know how long we're going to live. But in relation to eternity, the time that we spend upon this earth, the time we spent in this life, is only a minute fraction of the time that eternity would be. But yet we spend time putting all of our emphasis doing things while we're upon this earth. And people do that. And then some people go to the stream and they leave God out of everything and they put all the emphasis on while they're living upon this earth and just doing what they want to do. And acting like there's no God has nothing, it's not involved in nothing, and acting like God does not exist. You remember those scriptures that we read in chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 8? The cowardly, the unbelieving, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars. They will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Am I looking for those things now while I am upon this earth? Are we? Am I walking the walk of faith that has been made available by God now? But if I answer those things, no, I'm really not looking for those things now. It could be that there are some people who have a problem with they don't enjoy coming to worship periods where they worship God with all the brethren. And they don't enjoy that. They just don't look forward to that at all. And what makes you think you're going to be happy in heaven where they worship God? Heaven is about worship. And they worship God continually, day and night, as the scripture says. And then maybe that's your answer. I just don't like the worship. What makes you think you're going to like heaven? Well, it makes you think that heaven will be a place for you anyway, if that's the way that you feel. Our life should be about worshiping God now. Now, while we have opportunity, while we're upon this earth. Our time upon this earth is just a time to prepare us, to help us to know about God and to help us learn about God. It's just a place to, time to prepare us for eternity. A short time. The training period is for a short time while we're upon this earth. And then eternity comes. And that's what we're here for. My life is about worshiping God now. We can say that, can we not? That it is about worshiping God now. We can't have it both ways. God will not accept that we don't care about worshiping God now, and we think, well, everything will be fixed after I die, and when it comes to the time that we might be able to enter into heaven, and that all that would be fixed. Really? Where does the scripture say that? I'm looking at the book of Romans in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, now, while we're living upon this earth, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are to be holy, and we are to be acceptable to God. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter says, he quotes the verse that is found in the Old Testament, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord," that we are to be holy. We are to live in such a way that we would be acceptable to God. Is my life about worshiping God now? Am I acceptable to God now? Am I holy now? Am I presenting myself as a living sacrifice now? Am I reconciled now? We can be reconciled to God in this life. God, the reconciliation that we talked about in heaven is reconciling all the wrongs and all the things that has happened to us in this life, all the inequality that we have faced, all the trials, all the tribulation that we talked about, those who were those who had washed their robes in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that as we read the scriptures in that, it's about reconciling the wrongs that was right. But we can reconcile our lives to God now. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created and are in heaven and are upon earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is ahead of the body, the church, who is beginning from the firstborn from the dead, that in all things you may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness shall dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. We can be reconciled now. Reconciled and forgiven of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, am I resting in God now while we're living upon this earth? Do I find that I have comfort and peace while I'm upon this earth? Resting in God now. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, and I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Am I resting in God now? Am I living in victory in Christ now? Am I living now? Because we can live in victory in God now. John, as we read about the things that he saw in the book of Revelation, we read in the book of 1 John. In 1 John and chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot him also loves him who is begotten of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Are we living victoriously now in this life through God now with our faith, believing in God, in Christ Jesus our Lord? Are we living like we have overcame the world? If you answer those questions with no, I'm unprepared. Where do I start? Well, we've been talking about the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. Let's look and see what it says. Where do I get started? How do I enjoy all these things now while I'm upon this earth now? Revelation chapter 22 and in verse 14, the scripture says, blessed are those who do his commandments. We do his commandments. How do I get started? We do his commandments. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. Blessed are those who do his commandments. For then For then those who are faithful, those who are obedient, then they have a right to the tree of life. Then, that's how you get started. Do the commandments of the Lord. In the book of Acts, we have example after example after example how people come to the conclusion that they were in sin, that they were not following God, that they were not worshiping God as they should, that they had no reconciliation in this life, they were not reconciled to God because their sin had separated them from God, they had no peace in this life because they did not have God in their life, and they knew that they could not be victorious over the things in this life without God, and they looked to God, and in those people that we read about in the book of Acts, they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did the commandments of God. They were faithful unto Him. One of those was a man named Saul, who afterwards became Paul. And when Ananias came to him after he had went blind on the road to Damascus, he had encountered the Lord, and he believed that this was Jesus the Christ, and he had seen Him. He had heard Him speak. He went into the city, and Ananias was sent to him. And Ananias said to him, "Saul, Saul, what are you waiting for? Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." When you get started, you do the commandments of the Lord, and you obey the Lord, and you are baptized into Jesus Christ. And the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 on the road, riding along in a chariot, and Philip encountered him. He taught him about Christ. And they came to a place where there was water. He said, "See, here is water. What hindereth me to be baptized?" And he said, "You mayeth if you believe." And the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they both went down into the water, and he was baptized. And he went on his way rejoicing, because he could worship God properly. He could be reconciled. He was reconciled to God. He had peace with God and a rest. And he was victorious in overcoming the world through Christ Jesus. Let's get our songbooks. There may be those in the audience who need to respond to the gospel of Christ. And you're ready to start. You're ready to begin. You're ready to obey the gospel. You're ready to do the commandments of the Lord. You want to go to heaven. And you want to be victorious. And worship God. And have reconciliation in heaven. And rest in heaven. We call upon you to come forward this evening. And obey the Lord. Perhaps as a Christian you have failed in some way and sinned against God. We encourage you to make those things right. You may need to do so in a public way. You have that opportunity. We'll stand and sing for your encouragement.